Welcome to Dry Hard Pod, a weekly podcast on navigating life as a dry millennial.
Hi, I'm Katie, and I have been alcohol-free for 338 days.
Hi, I'm Kaylee, and I have been alcohol-free for 1 year, 2 months, and 2 days.
That's 1, 2, 2. That's like what they would call an angel number.
Oh, what's an angel number?
Maybe not. Maybe it's three of the same digit. It's like, you know, I would say like a superstitious, or not even superstitious, but like a sign of the universe or the heavens when you have multiple numbers in the same sequence.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's like I heard that 2022 is an angel year. Oh, yeah, because there's three twos in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was wrong, but still fucking close. Anyways, so Kaylee, I think that it's the first episode where we're going to give some shout outs to some of our friends that are kicking ass and they're on a sober streak here, booze free streak.
Yeah, Katie, kick it off with our sober shout outs.
Okay, so this is really funny. This submission, this listener has 4 months and 20 days booze free.
Blaze it. And
my favorite thing is when they submitted it, it was hashtag blaze.
Yes.
So that's awesome because Kaylee was 420 days, I think, last time we recorded.
Yeah, 419. I was super close.
419. Yes. So shout out to Maddie. She's from Michigan. She's rad. And then who else is on our list? Okay.
Another sober shout out we have is 10 weeks to Jack on her birthday on December 10th. She will be 10 weeks booze free. So congrats.
That is cool.
Congrats, homie.
10-10.
Yeah.
10-10. And Jack is from Oregon.
And is 10-10 an angel number?
And probably not technically what we'll call it. Okay. Right now. We're just making up our own fucking rules.
Speaking of doing whatever the fuck you want, how are you feeling, Katie? How are you feeling?
It's been a week. Life is just fucking life, right?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to navigate how to co-create with what's happening around me. And this week, it just felt like I got a little behind and we had a couple of just challenging times, which is, you know, to be expected. So, but we're good. I'm good. It was a good weekend and we made the most of it. We fucking decorated our Christmas tree.
I love that. We do not have a tree. We have one garland that I got at Trader Joe's on our fireplace, and I finally threw the little mini pumpkins away, and that's it.
Oh, yes. How are you feeling? That I don't know if that encompasses how you're feeling or not, but
I'm good. I am eagerly awaiting some news for a potential career shift. So going to see what happens there. I'm kind of hoping that I find out on Monday. I hate being in the purgatory of knowing or not knowing. So would love to start making some plans accordingly, no matter what the outcome is. And this weekend was pretty good. I bit the bullet and signed up for that expensive workout class I may have mentioned.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about that. I've been like going to a Friday morning workout class at 7 a.m. and then getting a bougie smoothie and then, you know, like listening to music or a podcast and doing my makeup and drinking coffee in the morning. And so it's nice to start creating those routines for myself.
I think that is actually the perfect segue because we're going to talk about boundaries this week and like even being able to structure your weekend to be able to go to the expensive Pilates class and get your smoothie and have that is by just really stepping into your worth and setting boundaries with people so that you have that, you're honoring that time for yourself.
Yeah, definitely. I could even elaborate on that specific example. Like I have a hard time, I've mentioned this before, even setting boundaries for myself. But if I want to get up and go to that 7 a.m. class, I have to have my ass in bed by 11 at the absolute latest. That still kind of sucks for me. I know that if I go to bed at 11, I have to take a nap at some point. But forcing myself to go to bed earlier and also navigating that with my partner in terms of when we're eating dinner, right? And not going to bed at the same time as each other. So I've been having to make some adjustments in my life in order to make that happen. But it's been worth it because I feel really good when I get my workout done and I get my bougie smoothie. I live for it. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I can relate. I actually, this morning I got up. It's Sunday today, by the way. I got up at 6:15, snoozed my alarm, and then went to Orange Theory at 7. And then I got myself and a friend a bougie smoothie next door.
Yes.
And I went on a 3-mile walk with her, and it was so nice. It was so fucking beautiful today. It was like 38 degrees, but bright blue skies. Even the beginning of this week, I felt so good with like being in the sun a little bit. But yeah, so I had nothing planned for my morning from 7 a.m. till noon. I was like, nope, this is my time. And I even carved time in there for me to just lay on my bed. I did nothing. I kicked my feet up. I did even, oh, Kaylee.
What?
I pulled out the Switch and I almost started playing Animal Crossing.
Yes.
But instead, I fell asleep. Took a nap. And Steve was being a little bit loud, and Iris, like, you know, they were just moving about the house, but we have a small home, and I put my noise canceling headphones on and took a nap.
That sounds amazing.
It's so nice. It's not often that I nap, but when I do,
it's luxurious.
It's a real one.
Yeah.
You know,
you get it.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, wait, let's do this. What is one really good thing that happened to you this week?
Oh, I went to Zoo Lights with my freaking little coworker friends and just, we had a moment. I can't remember what the conversation was, but I looked at them and was like, I'm so happy I know you guys. Like, I'm so grateful for getting to do this and getting to do these fun things and just feeling like they're people I can be my authentic self around, even though I haven't known them very long, is very cool. Very,
yes, yeah. A good sense of community to kind of help you out there. It's been a long couple years.
Yeah, it's been a long time in Portland that I've been able to, you know, I've lived here for a long time, but I haven't always felt like I had my people apart from my partner's friend group, who are now like family. But it's different. It's different. I don't know.
Right. Right. I'm trying to think of what good happened to us this week. I'm grateful for many things that happened this week, but we got our Christmas tree and it was nice out and we got to see our family and we just like did our tradition. Like our only real holiday tradition that we've ever done is getting our tree together and then coming home and decorating it directly after. And Iris pulls out every ornament and talks about where she remembers it coming from every year.
I love that.
Yeah, it's literally like, it's like actually like a movie. You know what I mean? Aww. It's just so cool. And we have fun with it. We laugh. And, you know, she is getting to an age where she doesn't always want to spend time with us. And she's great. She does for the most part. But, you know, it's like Sunday. And she's like, I want to be in my pajamas playing video games. Peace the fuck
yeah.
out. You know?
Yeah. Me too. Me so, too, girl.
Yeah, totally. I get it. And so, so yeah, we did that. And then my neighbor, who's one of my good friends, she knocked on my back door because we share a backyard. And she got me an ornament. She got me a LaCroix Christmas ornament for my tree.
That's so cool.
I know. And she brought it in and she was like, because it's like not alcoholic. And I was like, I fucking love you. You didn't have to explain it. You're the best. And well, this is the kicker because the day before, earlier that day, Iris took the honors of throwing away my wine Christmas ornament.
Oh,
my glass of wine. Yeah, I said, go throw it away. She was like, I love this ornament. I'm like, I can go throw it away. It's symbolistic. You know?
Get the fuck out of here.
Is that symbolic?
Symbolic. Yeah.
Yeah. Is symbolistic a word? Can we look that up?
Yes.
Okay. So anyways, so yeah, the universe knew that I needed a new ornament, and it came in the form of a smile from my next door neighbor and a LaCroix.
That's so sweet.
For my tree. Yeah, it is great.
So we're talking about boundaries.
Yeah. Kaylee, what are your initial thoughts on that, on boundaries in general?
Well, my initial thoughts are that they're great, and I think they're really important for everyone to have, but they're also really fucking hard, especially as people pleasers, you know? Like, it's...
Yeah.
It's difficult, and I don't know if it's been brought up more now that I'm sober, or I'm just focusing on it more and giving it like more space and attention.
It honestly feels like that's not just a you thing or me thing. I think that it's actually something that's a little bit of a hot word right now. Like, there's a lot floating around out there and a lot happening in the way of boundaries, in the way that they're taught.
Yeah, and I'm here for it. Like, I've definitely been seeing a lot on my social media about work-life balance and setting boundaries with family members over the holidays. So it's one of those things where it's hard to tell which came first, like the trend or the algorithm listening to what I'm talking about. I'm like,
oh, you know, totally. And either way, I'm like, it's working on me. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, whatever. It's cool. I'm happy to see like more content for things that are relevant to me. But yeah, I feel like I'm just now kind of getting into the meat of it, of like what my boundaries are and what that means for me, and then doing the really fucking hard work of setting those boundaries with people and being vocal about my needs, because that is not something that comes naturally to me. I bottle my feelings up until I explode because I'm so afraid of confrontation. It makes me like physically ill, and I just have a really hard time communicating. So I'm terrified of boundaries. I'm excited about being on the other end of setting them and what that means. And I'm excited to like hear from you, Katie, because I feel like you've been doing some more work in this area with your meditation and stuff like that. Just like, I don't know how that's been working for you. So
yeah,
I'm going to turn it around on you and ask about your initial thoughts on boundaries.
Oh man. I think that I, first of all, didn't ever use boundary. It was not something that was familiar with me until probably the last 2 years. No, three. In which, in that time, I thought I was setting boundaries. was not. I kind of had this mentality about like, okay, I'm going to use the word boundary, but really I am egocentric and I'm manipulating to have my needs met.
Tell me more about that. What does that mean? Like, I thought that I was setting a boundary, but I wasn't. Like, were you communicating like, hey, X person, I don't want you to do this? Or...
No, it was more like I was avoidant in setting boundaries. So I would altogether not handle the problem and I would just people please my way around it. So I still got what I wanted.
Yes, I can relate to that so hard. Or being like, I will not do this. I will not tolerate this. Like, this is not, you know, like giving all the advice to my friends about situations, mm-hmm. kind of like knowing what right and wrong is in terms of like, what I'm willing to accept.
Yeah.
And then just totally blasting through that in my own life, in my own situations, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. And growing up, I saw a lot of just cutting people out when they didn't respect my, like, caregiver's boundaries. However, I don't necessarily know that the boundaries were ever actually communicated. And so in turn, because I had like low self-worth, I was people-pleasing because I didn't know how to cut people out because I want people. I'm like, no, love me, you know? And so I definitely, boundaries were, I thought I understood them because it was easier than to do the work on myself to actually understand what boundaries look like.
Yeah, man, it's interesting to go back to childhood always, obviously, because there's so much shit there. But thinking back on how people setting boundaries in my life affected me, I guess I feel like my mom had really harsh boundaries or just certain rules as a kid. Like, my mom one time told me that I could take a nap in the same bed as her, but as long as she didn't hear me breathing.
What?
But I had fucking asthma. I just felt like I couldn't, like, I guess maybe, like, I was kind of stepping on eggshells. In order to, like, be close to her, I had to follow, like, very much, like, her rules. And it had to be, like, on her terms and, like, dependent on her mood. So, I don't know. I feel like some of the, like, anxious attachment stuff I have is very much related to boundaries. And feeling like if I don't do exactly what this person wants or expects of me, then they'll like dip out.
Oh yeah.
Is that too dark?
No, that's great. I'm trying to think. So we've talked a lot, Kaylee and I, before this episode, we have both listened to and read about boundaries and from a lot of different people. But right now, my favorite person for mostly everything on the internet is Nedra Tawab. She's fantastic. If you don't follow her, you should. And one thing that she talks about is like unhealthy boundaries.
Oh, okay.
And I was trying to think if like some of that wouldn't fall into that category.
Yeah, like you're setting a boundary, but it's an unrealistic boundary. And
right, of the person that you're setting it with, like a child, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's something that's really interesting too. You know, as a parent, when my daughter was young, I probably had some unrealistic expectations. Now that I'm older and I understand parenting and I understand about, you know, inner child and more about myself, right? I have a healthier relationship with myself. I wonder if, you know, I also hadn't modeled some of that for my daughter. So, you know, oftentimes it's like, I need you to put on your clothes.
Yeah.
They don't want to. Like, I need you to just do it.
Yeah.
Like, do it. And now I'm like, oh, I put two pairs of pants on the bed for you. There's a black pair and there's a jean pair. Will you put them on when you get time?
Yeah.
You know? And like, that's I wish that I would have had that ability when she was four.
Yeah. I think that taking the time to invest in learning about shit like that is awesome. And
yeah.
When I was listening to the podcast, I was recalling things like when she was talking about being a kid and having to eat everything on your plate.
Yeah, so what Kaylee's referring to is we both listened to a podcast episode by To Be Magnetic, Lacey Phillips, and it featured Nedra Tawab. So she's referring to that, and we will put that in the...
Yeah, we'll put that in the show notes. But yeah, she was talking about how kids were made to eat everything on their plate. You know, like, I don't care if you don't like the tuna casserole, like, you're gonna fucking eat it and you're gonna eat all of it. And that was something that was the case for me in middle school and most of high school. I was still in high school. I wasn't allowed to dish up my own food.
Wow.
It was dished up for me and the portions were huge. And I was forced to eat all of it. I think because there was definitely some, I want to think that it was in a good place. And there was definitely some concerns with some like borderline ED stuff going on in middle school and high school for me. But at the same time, I just felt like it made me feel even less like I had control over my own life. And I think it exacerbated some of the ED shit, some of the, you know, lack of self-control stuff, like the depression, all of it.
Totally.
Yeah. So, and she was talking too about especially intuitive eating, which I feel like is so important. Mm-hmm. And I've been learning a lot about more as I try and kind of combat the traditional diet culture that I grew up in.
Yeah.
You should listen to your natural body's cues. And if you're not hungry anymore, you can say something like, that's okay. You can save it for later. Or, you know, yeah, I'll put it in the fridge for you and you can come back to it. If you feel full, like, allow your child to trust themselves in that.
Well, and it's inherently giving them the underlying message that they don't know themselves and they can't trust their intuition.
Yeah.
And they don't have autonomy over their body.
Totally.
I will say a lot of that is a new development in parenting, like over the last 5 years. Like, that's just recently become something that's being talked about, which is fucking crazy.
I think if we talk to people in our generation, that was pretty common. Like, you can't leave the dinner table until you finish everything that's on your plate, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I think our generation and beyond, I think it's because people our age were raised by people who, you know, may have lived in a time where
it was like a wasteful, like, you can't be wasteful.
Yes. Yeah. And now I'm like, wait, you're telling me I can't be wasteful? You just ordered $170 of plastic on Amazon.
Or
like, in shit that you're going to put in a landfill and I can't fucking not eat my food. Fuck off.
Or also, like, refrigerators and Tupperware, like, Tupperware have been around forever. So, like, I'm not being wasteful, bitch. Just let me put it in the fridge. I'll eat it later.
Yeah. Well, so, and I will say that as someone who parented, there were times where in our household we were being more stern about food, and it is hard, and it's a learning experience for, you know, in our situation, we learned from it. But now there is this movement of, like, baby-led feeding. So you give your child whatever they reach for at a really young age, and it actually allows them to explore and learn what their appetite is and what foods they like and what foods they don't like and textures, and they become really familiar at a young age. And it actually has helped a lot with in preventative studies with ED and things like that, as they follow that as it goes on.
Cool. I love that more attention's being put to, I don't know, just learning and documenting stuff like that, so that hopefully,
yes,
generation after generation, we will become less and less fucked up.
Bro, one time my stepdad, I had a boy over, and I was notorious for like, dishing way more than I could eat, right? Like, I just did it all the time. It was a habit. And I don't know if it's because I got shit for it so much that I, like, accidentally kept doing it, but
you did it out of spite. You're like, I'm gonna eat all these fucking potatoes and I'm gonna leave none for you, dad.
Fuck you. That actually sounds like our house right now. So I dished a bowl of ice cream and my boyfriend was over, and I didn't want to finish it. Like, I couldn't finish it, and I just walked it over quietly. I remember sneaking it over to the sink because my stepdad was a hard ass about food also and wasting things, you know?
Yeah.
And I, like, ran hot water over it really quick, and that motherfucker made me take it out of the sink and fucking eat it with hot water in it in front of my boyfriend.
Okay. This... That is so fucking gross. Did you have to, like, lap it up like a dog?
Yes. No, I know. I, like, drink it like a cereal bowl. But it's just so funny that I'm even laughing about it now, because at the time it was fucking mortifying. But now I'm just like, because I look back at that time in my life and just be like, Katie, what the fuck? Like, I was so worried about this guy thinking I was dumb, and I was fucking drinking up warm ice cream milk. It's like, it's just so, I don't know, it's one for the books, man, you know?
I had a friend once who I accidentally meant to pour a glass of milk in, like, 1999, okay? Like, oat milk wasn't a thing yet, but...
don't fucking at me for doing whole milk.
And I accidentally poured half and half because I wasn't paying attention, and she made me drink the whole glass of half and half.
What? Okay, but actually, that's a thing. People fucking go to coffee shops and order a breve. A breve is shots with steamed half and half, the full cup of it.
It's a lot. It was a lot.
It's a lot for your body to handle.
It was a lot for my tiny, like, 10-year-old body to handle. It was too much. Oh,
so bad. Okay, while we're sharing, I wonder if our listeners are just like, what the fuck is happening? When my daughter was little, she wouldn't eat this potato cheese soup that I made. And I, like, made. I felt so proud of the soup. And I just remember being so fucking irrationally upset that she wouldn't eat it. Like, so upset. And that's, like, a much deeper wound. It has nothing to do with the 4-year-old at the time that fucking didn't want didn't want potato and cheese soup. And anyways, so... At Mother's Day the next year at school, they, like, did this pamphlet on each of their moms. And on mine, it was, what's your mom's favorite food? And she wrote potato cheese soup. She'll never forget. She still brings it up. She's like, we have potato cheese soup tonight? I'm like, no, we don't eat that anymore.
You broke my spirit and I'm never making it again.
Yeah, but also she's traumatized, clearly. She's like, thinks it's my favorite food for whatever. I made that big of a fucking deal out of it. She'll never forget. That was 8 years ago.
Yeah, so, Katie, how did boundaries or lack of boundaries play a role in your drinking life? You talked a little bit about kind of what it looked like with your dad as a kid.
Yeah, so when I was drinking, so let's say, okay, how did boundaries play a role in my life in my early 20s, right?
Yeah.
I had none. So any chance that I could get to compromise my own needs and to avoid taking care of myself, I would take. And that looks like not doing that kind of hard work, right? Mm-hmm. So I would like spread myself way too thin. I would say yes to everything, which is still a running theme in my life, and I'm working on that. But then I was doing it all with a hangover. When you have a lack of priorities, it's easy to have a lack of boundaries.
Yeah. Like you don't, that's why I feel like boundaries are so prominent in my life right now, is because I feel like I'm figuring out like what I fucking like and who I am without alcohol.
Yeah. And it's hard to do that when you are drinking that first layer of like your authentic self away. So you're like drinking to stay social and drinking to stay unfeeling of whatever's going on in your life. And so when you're not present, it's really hard to get to know yourself, to know what you truly want, and then take action on that. And that's what you do by setting boundaries.
I really like what you said about drinking your first like layer of your authentic self away, because that's how I feel and how I felt, but never really had it put into words or like explained. But it makes sense.
Yeah, I actually made that up, so I'm glad you liked it.
Oh, good job. Good for you.
Yeah, it's just much harder to stay grounded in, you know, your truth and what motivates you in life if you are not present enough to figure that out. So yeah, boundaries basically just played that there wasn't any. And I would say I did a lot of gossiping too.
Yeah.
This is the one takeaway I had from everything I've read and listened to and talked about boundary wise with my therapist and all of that, is that when I was drinking, I was doing a lot of gossiping. And if you listen to your gossip and who it's about, it's typically those are the people that you need to be setting boundaries with.
Oh, that checked out. That, oh, wait, that's hitting.
So, yeah, so listen to yourself, right? Because those people, we have the words. This is what Nedra Tawab says, which was like, this just fucking, like, I wrote this down on a post-it note to hang up. And it says, so with gossip, you have the words, but you don't have the power yet.
Oh.
And so oftentimes we offload this gossip and these problems we're having with someone because we're not willing to deal with them ourselves. So it's a way of relieving yourself of that pressure of knowing you need to do something and not doing it. And so that's why we get caught in that cycle of gossip, is because we're not setting boundaries. We don't even often know we need to, especially while I was drinking. I didn't know that that was the case. I didn't know those went hand in hand. And now when I catch myself gossiping, I'm like, if I'm going to say this, I need to say it to them. They don't know my personal preference and what I need if I don't communicate it and set that boundary.
That's such a good point. I feel like everything that I complain about is something that I probably wouldn't have necessarily had to deal with if I didn't set a boundary, right? Like we were talking about last episode, the duck game that I was going to go to with my dad. And I had not been feeling good about those games for a while. You know, I just,
right,
especially after becoming sober, but even before then, I wasn't feeling good because they were a huge trigger for me. I was getting super fucked up at those games. And, you know, so was my dad. And so it was a whole thing. And I ended up having a panic attack at the last game. And if I would have just like had a conversation with my dad and did the scary thing and set the boundary and been like, hey, listen, like, especially like in my sobriety, this is not, you know, there's a lot of people. I'm feeling super overwhelmed. This just isn't really my vibe. It kind of is making me want to rely on my vices. And, you know, can we do something else together? Then I think I could have avoided that whole situation. But now I know right. we can, you know, get, that's a whole thing we can get into. But
yes, Kaylee, I want to hear all about that. And I know that I'm sure after that experience, you were feeling just like incredibly vulnerably hungover from that. I can't even imagine. So we will circle back.
Yeah, I'll fill you all in.
So Kaylee, how does sobriety and boundaries support one another in your life now that you no longer drink?
Well, I have been putting myself first a lot more now that I have more confidence.
Yeah.
Which I think we've both shared. We've gotten from sobriety. I think just being able to kind of do something that I know is good for me, even when it's constantly in my face all day, every day. Like yeah. there's just so much, you know, happy hours. Or I had a friend who was having a birthday recently, and he was having his birthday party at a bar in town because, I mean, really, in Oregon in the winter, like, if you're not going to do it at someone's house, and most people in Portland live in pretty small apartments, like, what are you going to do? You know, and especially with COVID, needing like an outdoor heated area totally makes sense, right? So I reached out to him and had kind of told him what went down at the duck game. So I'll foreshadow that again. But I just reached out to him via text message and was like, hey, I think especially like after having a few hard times, like being in situations where other people are drinking lately, I love you and I want to celebrate your birthday and I want to do something special for you. Would it be okay if I took you out to dinner instead, and you can pick wherever you want to go, and we can make it like a fun friend date night, and you know, we can get some like one-on-one time, which I found that I've been enjoying so much more in my sobriety and just as I get older anyway. And he was totally down and he was so understanding and was like, yeah, absolutely, no problem.
I love that.
I don't know, you have to tell yourself like, I'm not being mean, like I'm not saying anything mean, I'm not like, you know, I just,
well, this is another part of all of that. It's like boundaries are not put in place to hurt people,
right?
You're never saying no to hurt someone. You're saying no because it's not in your means, it's not in your budget, it's not in your mental health space, it's not enriching your life at that moment. And so I believe that it's something like 85% of all boundaries are respected and honored after being communicated, which is fucking crazy to think about.
It's so terrifying to think about setting them, but honestly, like, in the podcast, Katie, that you had me listen to, she mentioned, yes, it's uncomfortable at first, but then you get that sweet, satisfying relief of not going to your ex-stepsister's baby shower and having to take your PTO off for it, or, you know, for leaving instead of sitting through a super painful and like traumatizing family experience or whatever. Like, I don't know. You need to say like, here's what I want and here's what I need. And then it's up to that person to either respect that or not respect that. And then at least you have a solid ground to make a decision and either then, you know, be like, okay, if you do not respect my boundary, then I will drive home, or then I will no longer visit you during these times if I know you're not going to be sober or whatever. So yeah.
Yeah. And what you're really doing with that, with those kinds of boundaries, is you are honoring your own boundary.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
When you make the decision to say no, you're honoring your own needs. And that's like a huge part of boundaries in my sobriety. Having my non-negotiables in place, and we've talked about them on a couple of other episodes.
Yeah.
I just feel like I really have to learn to honor myself before I can ask others to honor me. Or I really had to change my mindset to say, I deserve this treatment from myself. I'm worthy of this treatment. I'm worthy of this time alone. I'm worthy of the things that I want, and believe that and step into that before I could ask others to treat me as if I'm worthy. And that's been like the biggest revelation I've had in sobriety. And I would have not done this work and have been, you know, dedicating my time to it without quitting drinking.
Yeah, 100%. And you just have so much more like mental capacity, and also you aren't super fucking depressed and hungover. So
well, and I think that us saying no to booze, anyone that's listening, like every day you choose to say no to booze, you are stepping into your self-worth and getting closer and closer to being able to get to know yourself in a way that you can listen to what you really need. And it's hard even still, right? Like, I'm not drinking and I still, you know, max out my calendar. And I'm like, Katie, listen, girlfriend, like, why are we doing this again? What do you need right now? You're filling up your calendar. You're saying yes to everything. What do you need? You're not getting something that's integral to your like healthy, highest functioning self. So do we need a ritual night? Do we light some candles? Like, do you need to meditate? Do you want to play Animal Crossings? Do you want to go on a walk? So, yeah, I think all of that plays into boundary. Like your overall health helps establish them.
I think that's a great idea to just step back when you're feeling overbooked or overwhelmed or anxious and be like, what do I need, you know?
Yeah.
Do I need to bail on my plans and stay home and watch a cozy movie and make a soup? Or do I need social energy? Am I kind of like, sometimes for me, I feel like if I get bored, I get like too far up my own ass and like start getting into really like, holy shit, what am I doing with my life? Am I happy?
Like a more existential.
Yeah, I start outlook. To kind of freak out of like, where did all the time go? Like, oh my God, I'm going to blink and I'm going to be fucking 50. And I just start to like spin out. So
I was going to say that I definitely had to self-soothe today because I went through that. I've been doing that on the weekends. Like, I have so much to do. I'm not going to get it all done. And then I'm going to feel like this. And it's like very like victimhood. You know what I mean? I'm like, wait, like you are just yourself. They're like, you're just doing this to yourself. So I had to like nap my way through it today. That's why I took a nap. Cause I was like, nope, fuck that. We're not making a list. We're not looking in our calendar. We're going to take a nap.
Yeah. Nothing feels better than the freedom of feeling like I don't have shit to do today.
I know. I agree with you. And I think it's nice to be able to play there and be like, okay. And then still see your friends and still see your family and do whatever. But maybe just like not for me. I really need to figure out how to not say yes right away because I'm excited. You know, I want to do the thing. I do. But is me on Saturday, that version of me that wakes up, is she going to be ready to do the thing after doing the thing the night before and after doing the work thing the day before that and the day before that and the working out and working thing the day before that? It's like, you know, we're all different versions of ourselves depending on what time of the week it is.
And that kind of goes back into boundary setting too, and something that, because I'm the same way and I talked to my therapist about it, and you almost have to allow yourself the time and the space to kind of plan out, at least for me, I've been doing it like weekly, like what does the rest of my week look like? So if I know that I really want to go to these three gym classes 3 nights a week after work, and then I have a friend's birthday commitment on Friday, like if I get offered to do something on Monday, I kind of look at Monday through Friday and be like, like I'm learning more about myself. Like, I think I actually know that that's probably going to be too much for me. Like that, right. If I say yes to that, I'm probably going to feel overwhelmed. So saying like, I would love to hang out with you soon. Let's, you know, and prioritize that person for the following week. But like this week is just, I have too much going on. And that's totally fair to say. And I've never had someone not be my friend. Or you can say like, I don't know how I'm going to feel that day. Like, based on everything that's going on with my life, I might be super jazzed to fucking hang out, or I might be insanely tired. Is it okay if I let you know sooner to the date? Right. But like, I don't know right now. That's fine. You're not a flake for saying that. You're like just communicating what's up.
Yeah. And I have a hard time with impulse control in that moment. It's really, I'm excited about most things. So it's definitely something I'm practicing though. And then also canceling later. So, which is hard too. It's actually, this is funny though. My mother-in-law like gets better home and garden and like, you know, what is it? Fucking something living. I don't know.
Oh, country living.
Yeah, she gets all these magazines and she goes, because I was complaining about having too much going on and that I wasn't saving money, which I really, looking back, that was like 2 years ago. I should have not been complaining to my mother-in-law about that. But boundaries, right? Here we are. So she's so cute. She goes, Katie, I found this. This is like 6 months later. Katie, I found this, how to set financial and budget boundaries with your friends and family without saying you're broke. And it was a fucking magazine clipping that she cut out of her magazine for me. And it was so cute. It was like, my heart says yes, but my pocketbook says no. I would really love to do that, but it's not currently in my family's budget. It was just so cute. And those are all totally normal things. And I've been doing that. I actually said to a friend this week, I said, you know what? Eating out tonight wasn't in my budget, so we should make something at home.
Yeah.
And they were like, fuck yeah. I want to cook with you. That sounds so fun. And it is fun. It's like a whole new relationship, like friendship level, you know?
Yeah. And I think, if we were going to summarize a few things about boundaries and how to kind of get started, and I'm still learning a lot, but just practicing it over and over again, right? Like practicing your boundaries, because every time that I've set one or had a conversation with someone where I'm having to say how I feel and not just go with whatever they want me to do, it makes me feel like I want to throw up. I get sick to my stomach. I start, you know, kind of panicking. And it ends up being totally fucking fine. Mm-hmm. And as soon as that happens, again and again and again, you start like reshaping those neuro pathways and providing your brain with proof that something bad isn't always going to happen, because
I love it.
Yeah. So I would say, just kind of as a takeaway, a practice, even little ones, do like super tiny ones. Like
give me an example of one of like the, what can we call them? Micro boundaries,
mini boundaries.
Okay. Tell me one mini boundary that you set to like dip your toe in the water.
I would say a mini boundary for me would be on nights that I have to work the next day to just like make sure that I'm getting into bed at a certain time. And that's kind of like a mini boundary with myself, because I will just blow past my bedtime reminders and keep scrolling on TikTok. And if I just like put the phone down, washed my face, brushed my teeth, and laid in bed until I fell asleep, like, boom, instant, yeah. Like, I can hold myself accountable. It's not that bad. It's not the end of the world. I am capable of holding myself accountable. I am capable of doing the things that I need to do in order to achieve the life that I want, right?
Yeah, totally. I feel like I'm trying to think about what a micro boundary I've set is. One thing I think I would say is that I work out usually like 3 to 5 days a week. And so I set that boundary and expectation with my family that's something that is, I need every day. So I am not ever asked to do things during that time. And I don't say yes if I am.
Yeah.
And then same with my meditation practice. I meditate 3 to 5 nights a week and do journal work with To Be Magnetic. And so I pop in and I say, hey kiddo, you know, and I just, you know, let her know I'm going to need an hour tonight before bed. I won't be able to hear you, but you know, dad's in the living room. And then I tell Steve, my partner, I say, hey, I'm going to start doing my To Be Magnetic work. And they just give me that space. So Doing it with people that I live with is the number one thing, and it's less scary because they love me and, you know, they're yeah. safe. They're, it's a safe place for me. So
for sure. Even like a micro boundary, Katie, I remember when I was at your house last week and you were saying that I was telling you how I'm super bad about washing my dishes and then putting them in the sink. And you were talking about how, oh, like we always put our dishes to the left of the sink. So that way it's easier to wash them because the sink's not like full of fucking dishes. And I would say Dude. Like setting that with your family could be like a, hey, like,
oh, yeah.
In order to make this easier for me, can we arrange the dishes this way when they're dirty so that it's easier for me to clean them?
Totally.
Slash like you do it.
Yeah. Yes. 100%. We're learning to work together a little bit more. We're in like 900 square feet and there's three of us, which is not bad, but you know, we do have to learn how to navigate around each other's preferences. And that is part of boundaries. And we're encouraging our daughter to really start setting boundaries. Not only with her friends, but us too. She definitely will let us know now when she needs private time in her bedroom. She will set boundaries even if let's say I'm talking about something mature that's like relationship wise. So I ask her, okay, so is there anyone that you have a crush on at school? And she's like, Katie, I don't want to talk about that. And no, there's not. You know what I mean? And it's so like good that she can exercise that, even if it's silly and even if she's saying it because she genuinely doesn't fucking want to talk about it with me. But
yeah,
that's okay. She doesn't have to. But I do tell her, I know I'm here, though, if you want to talk about it, you know. So
sure.
I'm just trying to give her that space because minimizing that voice, I feel like, is what happens, and then you have people like us.
So
I have a couple of like tools or resources for our listeners, and I want to say listen to anything Nedra Tawab. She was on Red Table Talk with the Smiths. I love Red Table Talk. If you don't listen to it, listen to it. I heard her on an episode of what's called Expanded, and that's Tibby Magnetic's podcast, which is really great. And then I follow Nedra on Instagram, and I just ordered her most recent book. I cannot remember the name, but I'm so excited to get it, to read it. And I pulled a lot of our reference today from her, what she speaks on. So I definitely want to give her credit for leading the path. Something that has helped me in setting boundaries with my family, bigger boundaries, right? With my mother-in-law, with my own mom.
Macro boundaries
with my own mom and with my sister, you know, all of those relationships is I have been openly talking about my self-improvement, my self-worth, and that I'm practicing setting boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm setting them, but I'm also having conversations with people to see where they lie and what their emotional intelligence is around boundaries,
mm-hmm.
to know how I need to treat it with them.
And what sort of responses have you gotten back from saying that?
One of my family members in particular was like, oh, you're so smart. You know, they were just like, I love that. Where'd you hear that? And I'm like, oh my gosh, you have to listen to this, you know?
Yeah.
And so having that signal back to me is like, oh my gosh, they are also, you know what I mean? Like, they understand, they get it, they need this. This is something we'll have in common, and it will be easier and potentially a safer place for me if they know that ahead of time that I'm really practicing that.
It'll be easier to the end. Yeah. Now you know that they're a safe person to practice on, right?
Exactly. And that also signals to them that I am being, because one part about boundaries is it's not a one-way street, right? Mm-hmm. Asking for respect of your non-negotiables and your needs, it is modeled, and like that energy exchange happens by also respecting other people's boundaries. And I think that's like a huge, huge part of all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, those are two things I've got for any listeners. Kaylee, I do want to say, while we were recording tonight, we actually received another submission on our Instagram page. So we need to give a shout out to Allie. She has been booze-free for 10 days, and she says she owes it all to Martinelli's bubbly apple juice, which you were just fucking talking about.
Dude, fuck yeah. Martinelli's, sponsor us. I am obsessed.
And Allie, you're awesome. Keep it up. Love to see it.
You're going to feel so fucking awesome if you don't already after 30 days. Like, you are a third of the way through what was the hardest part for me. So get it, girl.
Even if it's just an intermittent situation, like, so cool. And thank you for interacting with our social media.
Yeah.
It means the world. And, you know, for some people, the pathway to developing a healthier relationship with Instagram and you know, any kind of social media just in general is interacting with it and being a part of it, because, you know, that's how we create a space where people feel like they can share. And we just want to start that conversation together.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, so in terms of takeaways that from this episode we would love to leave you with is, people don't really know what you need unless you tell them. They can't be mind readers. So even though it's difficult, definitely try to practice discussing those boundaries and having the tough conversations with people, especially starting small with mini micro boundaries, and also starting small by practicing setting those on people that you know love you and support you and respect that journey for you. And then I would also say, like, the chance of someone abandoning you or your you know, biggest fear is coming true because you set a boundary is actually really low. And if they do, they can go fuck themselves. Like,
and if you do have that, those couple of relationships where you genuinely fear that, like, work through that with your therapist. You know, like, there are some relationships that are going to be more complicated, and work through that with your therapist, talk to someone. You kind of dip your toe in the waters of, like, you know, narcissism and just trauma. And so I feel like, you know, you know who the people are.
Yeah, the ones you're gossiping about, right?
Yeah, the ones that you're like, I fucking can't stand this person, but I have 17 events planned with them over the next 6 months.
Time to schedule a therapy appointment.
Bye. Yeah.